Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discover the history of Minnesota's Jewish war veterans and learn about an effort to commemorate the sacrifices of our state's military families. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tuesday, American citizens across all 50 states and territories will come out to the polls and cast their vote for the next president of the United States of America. Democracy offers us a government in which the supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly or indirectly through a system of representation. One of the most critical ways that individuals can influence governmental decision-making is through voting. Tuesday, you have a chance to vote on the presidential candidate that you think will do the best job leading our nation for the next 4 years. You also have an opportunity to vote on local and state officials. My challenge to you is prepare before entering your polling station. Know what will be on the ballot and know why you're casting your vote one way or another. A resource for you while you prepare is the Office of the Minnesota Secretary of State's website, in your local library, or your city hall. The right to vote is recognized as a fundamental human right in the United States of America, but that right is not an option for millions of individuals around the world. Take part in our democracy. Get out there and cast your vote. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As our veterans return from current conflicts wounded in both mind and body, the Jewish War Veterans stands ready, as it has since 1896, to ensure that those who have fought our nation's battles receive the treatment and the respect that they deserve from a grateful nation through Jewish War Veterans' access to the VA and government officials. Joining us now is the commander of the Jewish War Veterans in Minnesota, Irving Rosenblum. Irv, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Irv, I understand you're a veteran of the Korean War. Can you tell us a little bit about your military experience?
Well, we were the first organization that was activated in the Korean War. And at that time, I was working at a radio station. I was working selling television sets, and I was watching television set, and President Truman got on, and he said, "We're going to activate people for the Korean War." And I was with the newest division in the United States and with the Minnesota National Guard, and I wasn't prepared to go into the service, so I changed the station. But at that moment, he activated my division, Minnesota National Guard.
And changing the station didn't help, did it?
No, it didn't. And people were said, "When are you getting ready to go?" And I said that I'm not ready to go because we're not going to go. It took me about 3 months to realize that I got to get ready.
So you were part of the Minnesota National Guard, the 47th Division?
Right.
And when you were activated, you were sent to, I think you told me, Camp Rucker?
That's right, Camp Rucker, Alabama.
And what did you do down there, sir?
Well, we settled. When we were there, it was an old Army base from Second World War, and we had a lot of work to do to get it ready so people could live there. And we had it was a lot of work. And it was pretty rough when we moved in there. They didn't have enough heat, and they didn't have enough food and everything. It was a little bit rough down there.
So Camp Rucker was one of the places when they were drafted for the Korean War, they went in there to basic training and you trained them? Is that what you did?
Absolutely. I was in division headquarters and we were responsible to get the training programs and all the different groups together so they were prepared to handle the new soldiers coming in.
And you made it safely through the Korean War and back to Minnesota, and didn't stay in the Guard, though.
No, I decided that there were other better things for me to do. But I enjoyed being in the Guard and met a lot of good people, and we had a lot of fun.
We're speaking with Irv Rosenblum, the commander of Minnesota's Jewish War Veterans, on Minnesota Military Radio. Irv, I understand the Jewish War Veterans is the oldest veterans service organization in the United States. Is that true?
Absolutely.
How long have they been around?
They've been around since 1898, when the Jewish people always wanted to support their country. And at the beginning, not all the veterans organizations wanted them to belong. So they said, we're going to support our country, and we're going to start our own veterans group.
So they've been around since the beginning.
Right.
Served in the Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, II.
Absolutely.
And of course, in Korea, through all of those wars, you were telling me that the Jewish Americans showed up in greater numbers than their percentage of the population.
Well, we fought in the First World War and the Second World War. In the Second World War, many of the people had to be drafted, but a lot of the Jewish people decided they weren't going to be drafted. They joined the Army and the Navy and the Marines. And we were going to get rid of that dictator Hitler.
And we'll come back to World War II in a few minutes. Irv, how did you get involved in the Jewish War Veterans, in that Veterans Service Organization?
Well, when I left the Army, the National Guard, there was a lot of my friends also were served in the Korean War, and we all decided what we were going to have our own Jewish War Veteran organization. And we went with National, and they gave us, we had our own Korean War Vets Department. And it was very good. It was we had about 50 or 60 fellows that belonged at that time.
So the Jewish War Veterans is the Jewish War Veterans of the United States of America.
Correct.
And you established a local chapter in Minneapolis.
Exactly right.
And you've been a part of it ever since?
Yes, I've been belonging. We belonged to the Korean War Vets, and then we joined another group. There were more veterans there from the Second World War. So I've been commander of 354, and I've been there for about 60 years.
And what type of things does your veteran service organization do, Irv?
Well, we do a lot of things. We provide flags for all the cemeteries. We go to the VA hospital every month. We play bingo at the VA hospital, and we go to nursing homes. And we do participate in all the activities of all the other veterans organizations.
And Irv, you are the commander of Minnesota's Jewish War Veterans, and as the commander, you sit on the commander's task force, which in Minnesota there are nine veteran service organizations, such as the Legion and the VFW and the Purple Hearts and POWs, and also the Jewish War Veterans. How does the commander's task force work, and how do they help you?
Well, all the veterans groups get together, and we're really interested in doing things better to serving our veterans, the ones that have come out of service, making sure that the Veterans Hospital has the people that come out know to join the Veterans Hospital. It's very important that they activate and join the hospital and tell them, because there's a lot of, when the veterans leave, they have a lot of problems sometimes from the service. And the Veterans Hospital serves them very well.
So this is the Commander's Task Force is a way for all of the various veteran service organizations to pull together, help the veterans in the state of Minnesota, maybe have some influence on the legislature on some things that are happening.
Exactly. Every year we petition at the state capitol, and we visit with all our representatives and tell them that we're watching them to see that when we come up with things necessary for the veterans, that they participate.
Irv, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll speak more with Irv Rosenblum, the commander of Jewish War Veterans, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking to Irv Rosenblum, the commander of Minnesota's Jewish War Veterans. Irv, we've got a little clip from a guest that we had on last year about World War II that I'd like to play for you.
10,700,000 men, women, and children were put to death in here. And these are the guys that saying they were just obeying orders. Yeah, it was an eerie feeling, one that I saw, and I feel it has to be repeated and repeated and repeated, just like Eisenhower told the soldiers, get it all out now, because somewhere down the line somebody's going to say it's nothing, never happened. And that some people are believing that today. Good people have to stand up, just like that saying says, that it was, Holocaust was evil, and evil will triumph when good men say nothing.
Irv, World War II, you and I were talking earlier that you were telling me that Jewish Americans stood up early and often and enlisted in World War II, and we've had on a lot of guests on the show over the last couple of years, and this was Mr. Tillman's talking about the huge number of people that that died in the Holocaust and his reaction to it. He's right, isn't he?
Well, at that time, we saw what was happening in Germany, and all my friends joined the Marines and the Air Force, Army, and the Navy, and I joined the Minnesota National Guard. And we were going to stop the war and try to get the end of World War II and stop the killing of all our people overseas.
Irv, you must have a reaction when you hear a news story on the radio or the TV today that certain people in Iran and the Middle East say that the Holocaust never happened. That's, how can they even think that?
It really makes you boil, because so many of our family were killed in the Holocaust, and all our friends went over there and they fought valiantly to end the war and save some of our people. And we did. There were a lot of people that were still in the concentration camps that survived, and they've come to America and to Israel, and we were very fortunate.
And Irv, as we said in the first part of the show, the Jewish War Veterans as an organization has been around for over 350 years, and Jewish Americans have served in every war, from the Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam. They're still serving today. As an organization, are you experiencing some of the things the other veteran service organizations do in terms of how do you get new membership and how do you get people interested?
Well, we're proud of our service, that we've always been in serving our country. And we're always looking for more members, and we're very glad, though, that we don't have as many war people in the war. We want to, hopefully, that the wars will end and we won't have to be fighting among our people, among any people in the world. And we support our government, and when we see a lot of these organizations or countries that are killing their people, and we think that if we, by being in the service, we can prevent and stop some of these things happening.
Pray for peace, but as long as there's wars, you're going to stand up and be there with the rest of us.
We'll support whatever our government wants us to do. We're there to help.
We're speaking with Irv Rosenblum, the commander of Minnesota's Jewish War Veterans, on Minnesota Military Radio. Irv, we were talking a little bit earlier also about the Jewish War Veterans, you as a veteran service organization, and you participate in the commander's task force and try to get veterans' opinions known to the legislature and some other things, but we also do some work at the cemetery, some flags you were telling me about?
Right. At the cemetery, every year on Memorial Day, we have 9 Jewish cemeteries in St. Paul, and we put up flags all the way around in the cemeteries, and we have services. And we have the Jewish services at our cemeteries. And we also have support and put up American flags at all our cemeteries. We have and we make sure that they're in good condition. We put up some recently. We put up one at the Tom Matora in St. Paul, too. We put up a new flag there, and we also had put one up at the JCC in St. Paul. We also visit with the VA hospital every month for many, many years, and the fourth Sunday of the month, and we are always, if anybody wants to volunteer, they can come and help us. But we go there every year and every month, and we visit with the soldiers that are presently in the hospital.
The patients out there.
Patients, yes.
Do you go over to the veterans home too, Herb?
Yes, we do. We used to go there regularly, and then we found out that they didn't need us anymore. So we concentrate going to the VA hospital.
To the hospital. And are you getting some younger members into your veteran service organization?
There is some new members. We've even had some people that are joining now that served in the military as military officers even after the wars, between the wars. And it's hard to get more people to join, but we're encouraging people to join. And it's really important that a veteran should join any organization because you got to support our troops, and we got to do the best. And by joining, we're also supporting the people that are serving today. And when they get out of service, they know that somebody's going to take care of them.
It was fun as an older veteran to support today's service members and troops and make sure that they're treated well and taken care of.
Very, very well. And Minnesota is doing a very good job for a lot of the people with the families where the soldiers are overseas and the families need help with money and all kinds of problems. Minnesota has people available to help them.
And Irv, where does your chapter of the Jewish War Veterans meet these days?
We meet at the JCC in St. Paul.
And how often?
We meet about every other month. And we do whatever is necessary to help the community and help the Jewish community and the military community, too.
So if anybody's interested in joining the Jewish War Veterans, we'll post a link on our Facebook page. Just go to Minnesota Military Radio on Facebook, and you can find a link and more information about the Jewish War Veterans. Irv, we're just down to about a minute. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners out there about your organization and your service and all the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jewish Americans that have served?
Well, the Jews have always fought in every war. In every country they participated in, they're very patriotic. And we hope that we won't have to have too many more wars. And whenever is needed, we're available. Protect our country.
Irv, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come visit with us today. That was Irv Rosenblum, the commander of Minnesota's Jewish War Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran's story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is former Army Military Police Officer, now Dr. Edmund Bruyere.
Hello, my name is Edmund Bruyere. I am a Gulf War era veteran, U.S. Army Military Police Corps active duty. I hold a doctorate in developmental psychology and a master's degree in special education. I am looking for a job as a special education teacher. Thank you.
Dr. Bruyere and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Dr. Bruyere, contact South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. When we return to Minnesota Military Radio, we'll visit with Mr. Bill Popp about a new effort to commemorate the sacrifices of our state's military families. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers, sailors, and airmen is, take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of military families. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. Military families make many sacrifices. One way you can show your appreciation and say thank you is with your financial support. Please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to buy support our troop license plates. Yes, we take care of military families. And thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about an effort to commemorate the sacrifices of our state's military families. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
November is National American Indian Heritage Month. Native Americans has one of the highest levels of participation of military service per capita of any ethnic group. Although they serve in the military in large numbers, they apply for and receive fewer benefits than other ethnic groups. The message of our Tribal Veteran Service Officer program here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is to provide community outreach in an attempt to locate and serve as the veterans advocate for Native American veterans and their dependents in Minnesota. The Tribal Veteran Service Officers work to ensure veterans receive the benefits they have earned. To learn more about this program and to locate an officer, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now for the second part of the show is a very special guest, Bill Popp from Popp Communications. Bill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Sir Thomas, thank you.
I haven't seen you in the studio here for a few months, so it's good to have you back.
Well, it's a real honor and a real pleasure to be here.
Bill, I'm wondering, and I think the audience is, what was your first project to help support the military in Minnesota and the families?
Well, my wife and I, Terry, we worked very hard to get the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Memorial built. And that was 20-some years ago, and we've been very involved in helping veterans and military families ever since.
And I understand you were telling me a story about the billboard. There was a young lady up on a billboard trying to raise some money.
Yeah.
It got cold one night, and you decided you better do something about
That's right. Her name was Sally Adams, and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, they needed $50,000 in order to continue construction and to keep moving along with to get construction going and to have a move along with the effort to raise money. And my wife and I decided that, you know, that night it was going to freeze, and we didn't want Sally up in that billboard, and we didn't want her to freeze. So we called him up and brought him a $50,000 check and got Sally off the billboard. And then we got very actively involved in helping the Vietnam Veterans Memorial get built.
And you got to meet General Westmoreland.
Yes, that was a great honor at the dedication. I was asked to speak, and I was able to meet him and the governor and all kinds of people that are really rich and deep in our history.
And, Bill, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but back around 2003 or 4, Governor Plenty asked you to over to the Capitol and to do something to help Minnesota military families, didn't he?
Yes, sir. That I started out with, I was at an ESGR event, and I asked General Andreotti, who was the tag at the time, how I could help military families. And so General Andreotti worked with the governor so that we could figure out how to help military families.
And that's called the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Yes, it is.
Information on that can be found at MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Bill, over the years, that's benefited a lot of Minnesota military families, active duty, reserve, guard.
Yes, there's 20,000 roughly people, families serving in Minnesota, and we've helped over 1,000.
And I saw the reports came through last month. I think we just went over cumulatively $2 million.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Now, can you explain quickly to the listeners, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation provides grants to Minnesota military families in time of financial or economic problems.
Yep.
And what type of things, of course, I know as a board member, but what type of things do we write checks for?
And by the way, thank you so much for the time that you spend and serve as a board member. And I don't know if your listeners know this, but you volunteer your time to do this show. And I want to say thank you to you for that, because I know a lot of time, energy, and effort goes into putting this show together. And Sir Thomas, you're a blessing to all of us that really appreciate and admire our military and want to make things better. And one of the ways to make things better is by sharing, you know, valuable information. And you pull a lot of things together and you put it out on the air. And I just want to say to you, thank you, and also congratulate you on some of the awards you've won for this show, as well as I want to say thank you to all the stations that are out there that have taken on your show and put your show on their air. There are, how many stations are there now, Tom? I lose track because there's so many. I mean, you get added onto here. This is great.
In addition to our flagship right here, Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, we're on five other stations, and there's another six coming up.
Yes, I heard that.
So we're building the Minnesota Military Radio Network, Bill, and it's great fun to tell these stories. I don't know how this all happened, but for an old Vietnam veteran to be able to participate, give back, help with things like this and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, it's my privilege. Now, the Family Foundation, we're raising money all the time so that we can give out these grants. The types of things that we pay for, Bill?
Well, furnaces, and that season's coming up again, and we've repaired a lot of cars. We help with all kinds of things that when that military family has a financial crisis, we are there to help them. And, the spectrum is very, very broad as to what types of grants that we give out.
And Bill, now you're involved in a new effort called the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, where did this idea come from, and how did you get involved? And here you are pushing it out, raising money again, Bill.
Yeah, no, and I was very honored. I was asked in 2009 to speak at the official Vietnam Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans event at the state capitol. And I gave my speech right after Governor Pawlenty gave his. And in my speech, I focused on thanking the Vietnam veterans' family members. I mean, it was all about the family members. The governor was thanking the veterans and the families. The generals that were speaking were thanking the veterans. And I really zeroed in on the families. And I actually called out the family members and had everybody give, called out the parents. Let's give the parents an applause. I mean, I called out and really focused hard on the family members. And after that speech, when I got down off the stage, I was, the veterans came up and I almost felt like a rock star. They mobbed me and wanted to shake my hand and they wanted to thank me. And the reason they wanted to thank me was because nobody had ever thanked their family members that directly and that sincerely. And they were thankful that their family members were getting thanked. So what happened then is my wife and I, we went back and did some Googling and such and looked for, you know, tributes to family members. And we really found none of any significance. Nowhere are there really any tributes or thank yous to the family members of our military personnel. So right away we said, well, there's something missing here. There's something wrong. So what we did is we put a program together to thank military and veteran family members, and we're going to build a tribute at the state capitol, and the tribute is going to connect all of the existing war memorials that are there today, and there's several really nice pieces to it, and to see the layout, if you go to militaryfamilytribute.org, it's just militaryfamilytribute.org. There's a real nice layout of what we're raising money for to build at the state capitol grounds to thank Gold Star family members, Blue Star family members, and veteran family members.
Bill, did you have to sort through a number of ideas on how to build a tribute to the families?
No, it was real easy because the state had a whole bunch of rules I had to follow. So we had contests and all kinds of things, rules that you had to follow in order to get things built at the state capitol. And it took me 2.5 years to get through all of the rules, or otherwise known as red tape, to get the tribute, the look and the feel, you know, the build of it, the architectural drafting, and the prints and the plans. All that's put together, and like I say, it's online at militaryfamilytribute.org for anybody who wants to take a look at it.
Bill, where do you find time to run your company, Pop Communications?
I am blessed with some great business operators that work with me. And this is really a passion of mine to say thank you to military and veteran family members, because the sacrifices that the families make are huge. And I just want to get out there and say thank you to them, because I really, really appreciate the sacrifices.
Bill, I'm constantly amazed you've given of your time and treasures and talent over and over and over again over the years. And it's a good thing you've got a good, solid business base underneath you, and you're in a position to do it. And thank you for giving back as much as you have.
Well, thank you.
We're just about out of time in this segment. When we come back, I'd like to just tell the listeners, we'll spend a few minutes and tell them about the Minnesota Family Tribute, what it is, where it is, and what it looks like, and how they can help us.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking with Bill Popp, and we'll be right back to tell you a little more about the Minnesota Family Tribute. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by Bill Popp from Popp Communications and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and his new venture, Minnesota Military Family Tribute. Bill, we talked about a little bit the reason why you got involved in the Family Tribute. Can you tell me exactly where is it going to be, and what is it going to be?
Yeah, the tribute is made up of, it's going to be at the Minnesota State Capitol, and it actually connects the Vietnam Veterans Memorial and the World War II Memorial and all the different memorials that are down by the Veterans Services Building. So it's right smack in the middle of the war memorials that are there right now.
Right in front of the Capitol.
Yes, right down in front of the Capitol there. There's three major components. The first thing is kind of the military and veteran family walkway, which connects all of the war memorials together, as well as connects the Gold Star family table that we've got designed. And then there's also story stones, and we're anticipating a story stone from each county in Minnesota. And on the story stones, there's going to be engravings on there that are of communication between family members and their soldiers that are serving, and that there'll be little stories, little comments or questions or statements. And the idea there is to help non-military family personnel know what some of the types of communication or some of the types of issues that military service members, while they're serving, the types of issues they may deal with their family thousands of miles, you know, away from them. So we're trying to help bring knowledge and about how families struggle, as well as we're trying to pay tribute to military families. And the tribute is going to be a tribute to past military family members, present military family members, and it'll serve as a tribute to all future family members as well. So it's got a very wide spectrum and a high meaning to it.
For our listeners, we'll put a link up to this, but if you go to militaryfamilytribute.org, you can see some visuals of the walkway, the nice trees planted along the walkway,
some benches. Plans are on there, and they're very, very nice. We had to go through a huge planning process with the state and a contest on the actual design to get this put together. But the plans are on that website.
And one of the components you said was the Gold Star family table.
Yes.
And, of course, the Gold Star families are those families of our service members who have given the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes.
I know you've gotten a couple letters from some Gold Star families. They like the idea?
Oh, yeah. No, they love the idea, and the overwhelming message I get is this will help serve as a place of healing. And there really is no tribute to military families, you know, anywhere of any substance. And this tribute particularly needs to really focus well on Gold Star family members to help them with their healing process, and to acknowledge to them that we as a community really do, we're trying to understand the sacrifice that they make, but we really do thank them and want to honor them and memorialize the loss and the sacrifices and the suffering that they go through with the loss of their loved one.
And Bill, I've seen the plans, and if they go to that website, militaryfamilytribute.org, they can see the visuals. This is an expensive undertaking, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to raise $1 million, and that's pretty expensive.
And you're doing pretty well.
Yes, we are already well over $600,000, almost at $700,000.
And how can our listeners help, Bill?
Well, if they go to the website, militaryfamilytribute.org, you can look at the plans, and there's facility on there so you can donate as well.
Bill, we're just about out of time for this segment. I want to thank you for joining us. If you got any final thoughts for our listeners, you do so much with the Family Foundation and now the Family Tribute. My goodness.
Well, you know, I have so many people to say thank you to. I'm just kind of out there doing a little bit of promoting, but I want to say thank you to the thousands of people who have donated to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to the thousands of people that buy Support Our Troop license plates. Part of the money that the state raises from the Support Our Troop license plates goes to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation at all. But there's so many people to say thank you to. And of course, we've got to say thank you to our military and veteran family members for the sacrifices that you make. And there's just so many people to say thank you to. I hope I'm covering the bases. And Tom, you do a great job of saying thank you to people as well. And again, thank you for all the service that all the time and energy and talent that you spend serving on the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Board.
My pleasure, Bill. I think you forgot to thank one person and one family. That's Bill Pop, Pop Communication, and Bill and his wife, Terry. You do so much for this community. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for joining us today.
Aye, aye.
This is Bill Pop from Pop Communications and Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and now the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. And now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners, and thanks to all who are serving.
What's happening with the Minnesota Patriot Guard this month, Doug?
Well, we actually, yesterday, Tom, had quite a meeting. We have an annual leadership meeting, so the ride captains and assistant ride captains from around the state. Once a year, we gather, typically in St. Cloud, because it seems to be a good middle spot for everyone. And we go through the year, you know, the year that's been and what we've got to look forward to. And, you know, it's just kind of an interesting group of people, Tom. You know, we had over 100 people at that meeting yesterday, and it's just really fulfilling to know these people. And, you know, our members make this organization run, and our members who hold that flag and that flag line are the ones who make it go. But I just feel it's really important to give a shout-out to the volunteers who spend a lot of hours on the computers, you know, and spend a lot of time talking to the families of our fallen heroes and put this all together. And I'm just honored to have spent the last 6 years working with that leadership team.
A lot of planning and organization goes into all of these missions, doesn't it?
Boy, you know, it really does. We always, you know, especially for our fallen hero from someone who died in combat, that ride captain probably puts in 40 to 50 hours getting that mission ready to go and executing it. But it's also a lifetime commitment to that family. And, you know, these around the state, we've had a lot of leadership come, and, you know, a few folks, you know, have stayed on, and many have promoted themselves to the flag line and move forward. So, you know, it's just great to see these people have all stepped up and are volunteering, Tom. And as you know, leadership and membership of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is all volunteers. So I'm just proud of these people. And a special shout out to Carla Richardson, our state captain. And you know, she's retired military and lives up in the northwestern part of the state and is just a fabulous leader. And we're just so lucky to have her.
And each mission for each family is incredibly emotional and important. And you want to make sure you're organized and you get it right the first time, don't you?
We really do, Tom. And, you know, that starts with, and the first priority is making sure we have an invitation from that family directly, and, you know, not from a friend or from someone who thinks we're doing the right thing. And it begins with those first emails and phone calls and that request from the family and working with funeral home directors and law enforcement if required. And, you know, because each one, you're right, each one is the most important mission because it has to be delivered perfectly because that's family only experience with us, and we want to make sure each one is perfect for them.
And as we said before, the honor, dignity, and respect, you guys really deliver. Guys and gals of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the riders do a fantastic job, Doug.
Yeah, I love our members, and I love our mission. I love what we do, and, you know, it's our honor to be there.
Doug, we're adding stations to the Minnesota Military Radio Network all the time, and for those new listeners, can you tell us once again who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Well, it's very simple, Tom. It's there's only, you know, one real requirement. It's just, you know, love for this country and respect for the military in your heart. You do not have to be a veteran, and you do not have to ride a motorcycle to be a member of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Simply go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left-hand side, you'll see a button that says click and join us, and all you need is a zip code and an email address, and everything's electronic. You can begin to get emails. There's no dues or fees, and all we ask is that you have a 3x5 United States flag on a pole and give a little bit of your time, and I promise you, trust me, you're going to get 100 times back whatever you put into it.
Doug, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, sir. Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Before we go, we have one event we'd like to mention. Burnsville's Yellow Ribbon Network is holding a lunchtime fundraiser this Wednesday at the Arbors at Ridges from 11 to 1. They'll be serving up hamburgers and giving away tickets to upcoming Vikings and Packers game. For more information on this and other events, visit us at facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Irv Rosenblum, Bill Popp, Doug Bly, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we celebrate our second anniversary, look back on some of the stories we've been able to share, and meet the team responsible for the show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.